You can't.
I'm still debating this right beyond the air. Yeah, we're fired up here, right here at the Hagman Studios. Can you tell we're fired up? Look, folks, there's a lot to come out. Please, if you go to HagmanReport.com, please do that. A little taste of what we didn't address tonight. Compliments of InfoWars Alex Jones on the Hagman Report. And you know what, folks? If you like what you saw, definitely send InfoWars an email. They read them all, their emails. And let them know that you appreciated him having me on, and because we've got to work together. All of the alternative media has got to work together right now, in this moment, at this moment. We can't be firing on one another. We can't be knocking each other around. We've got to work together because the stakes are too important. The lives of your children and grandchildren. And you might say, oh, that would a bunch of hyperbole. Really? Really now? Look at the headlines. Pick up a newspaper. That's almost laughable. But wake up and smell the coffee. Understand where we're at and the dire situation, the dangerous situation where we're at. Folks, before we get to our guest this hour, TexasReady.net. TexasReady.net. Have you visited TexasReady.net? This is a phenomenal company. They sell seed banks. They're rated the highest in the world. When I saw this, and we met Lisa in the business. She's going to be coming. We're going to be talking to her tomorrow about specific issues, specific things, survival things, because you need to know this if you're a long-term planner. But Texas Ready, they have regionally appropriate open-pollinated heirloom seeds. Many places don't take into account geographical differences. They do. The hybrid seeds are good for only one garden. They don't reproduce true to type. That's why it's necessary to purchase stable heirloom seeds, folks. Texas Ready uses only certified seeds. I never heard of that until I began talking with, or until I spoke with TexasReady.net. And there it is. They've got, they're like an encyclopedia. Anything seed-related, TexasReady.net, they are like the ultimate. I like to cite the listener protection program we have. Because see, we don't talk about endorse anything that we don't use ourselves, believe in, or know it's good. This is the best. Listen to Bailey, the seed lady. She knows her stuff. She knows her seeds, folks. By the way, you can buy a seed bank, or you buy a seed bank based on how many people you're going to be providing food for when you know what hits the fan, right? Texas Ready, they've got five different sizes of seed banks, two person, four, six, 12, and so on. So if you have a garden for four in your backyard, but you invite eight people over, well, the whole 12 of you get to starve equally. So TexasReady.net, they are the ultimate in terms of seeds. And did you know this? Rats, many people keep their seeds in a number 10 can. Or even plastic tubes. Not Texas Ready. Because rats can actually eat through PVs or the plastic tubes and number 10 cans. I didn't know that. I never had a rat problem. Folks, TexasReady.net. That's TexasReady.net. Each Texas Ready seed bank contains 80 plus varieties of fruits and vegetables, including 8 dual purpose herbs, culinary and medicinal. Yes, medicinal. Go to TexasReady.net. TexasReady.net. Joe.
Our next guest is Brandon House. His website is worldviewweekend.com. He's the author of 13 books, the latest, The Coming Religious Right. He's been a guest on numerous radio and television TV shows, from Bill O'Reilly on Fox News, The Washington Times, and much more. He's been a guest on this show. Just about a month ago, he was on.
Always
and
a
he
crowd pleaser.
Did a spectacular job. We had lots of just great and positive feedback. And we are pleased to welcome back Brandon House. Brandon, it's great to have you back on the show.
It is great to be here, guys. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me back on.
Well, thanks for coming back on, despite the fact that, you know, sometimes we get in our own way. But you're looking good. Wait a minute, what are you doing, wrestling with your phone? What's going on there?
I am. Thank you. For... I had to put my headset on. How's that now?
No, it sounds much clearer. I want to thank you for referring your friend Mike Gendron. He was on last night and did a great job.
Yes, he did.
He was on the first 2 hours, and it was awesome.
Well, good. Thank you for having him on. We produce and distribute his national TV show, and in fact, he'll be in here again in about a week filming more. So, we produce the TV show of Sharam Haydian. I got to get Sharam on your show. He's a former Muslim born and raised in Iran. His daddy was a high-ranking Muslim military official, and they fled Iran 6 weeks before the fall of the Shah. And Sharam became a Christian. He was rejected by his father for a period of time, and most of his family for a period of time, because he converted to biblical Christianity. But he's now warning Americans about Islam, the immigration program, the immigrant program, I should say. And he's very documented. He's an excellent communicator. And he just started filming his TV show with us. And he filmed 8 television shows today. He'll film 4 more tomorrow. And next week we'll launch another TV show. So we're sponsoring about 8 television shows with 8 different hosts now from our Memphis, Tennessee TV studios.
Fantastic. And, you know, he was right on the money. In fact, we had Pastor David Langford, who was on right after he was. And he stayed so well on message and quoting scripture that Pastor Langford came on and said, you know, I agreed with everything that guy said, and I don't agree with everything pastors say hardly at all. And that's because his presentation was just right on the money with the word. And that was very refreshing.
You know, if I can, not that there's a script, if we can go off script, Brennan, any comments on the current morass with respect to the election?
Well, I'm really watching what's going on with the FBI and the NSA. I have friends in both of those agencies. I know people in these agencies. Some of them I've spent quite a bit of time with over the years. Committed Americans, committed patriots, but even more importantly, committed Christians. And I have said on my radio show so many times that it's the upper elite of these agencies that are destroying these agencies and destroying the country. Most FBI agents, NSA agents, CIA people, they want what's best for America. And the same is true with your police. Your police are generally good people. There's a few bad apples everywhere. I mean, there are guys who claim to be pastors that are bad apples. There are people who claim to be doctors that are horrible. You wouldn't want to go to them. I mean, I have doctors tell me, don't go to that doctor, you know. One of my kids had to have surgery a couple years ago, and emergency room doctor said, do not go to this surgeon, go to this surgeon. So there are bad apples in any field you can go to. And so we do have some bad apples here and there. But the majority of the people at the street level, if you will, whether it's FBI, CIA, NSA, police, they want to do what's right. It's usually the upper echelon, the administration, and we see that with our police, where the police officers want to do the right thing, but their hands are tied by their bosses, hands are tied by the politicians, who are worried about crime getting in the paper and telling the people in the community what's really going on. And if you talk to the cops, they'll tell you this sleepy, nice southern town he actually has got some absolute serious crime, massive perversion. You wouldn't believe some of the things they're arresting people for doing in these upscale, what look like sleepy Mayberry-type communities. But nobody reports on it, talks about it, because the politicians don't want it driving down home values or causing them not to get reelected or causing the Chamber of Commerce to be upset because it's not good for business. So it's almost always stinks at the top, and I think that's exactly what we're seeing now. But what's going on with the intelligence communities and this reported coup, it does not shock me at all, because of the fact, like you guys, I'm sure, have talked to the folks at the street level, if you will, in these agencies, and have found out that they're disgusted and have been for a long, long time. My biggest concern is voter fraud. My biggest concern is voter fraud, and I don't know what's going to come with that. But look, these people are trying to destroy America. Many of them are globalists. Bill Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar. I think we touched on that in our last broadcast together. At Oxford, the Rhodes Scholarship Program by Cecil Rhodes was specifically about using his fortune to train people in economics, in education, media, politics, civil government, to want to destroy America and have a central world government out of Europe, a European central world government. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing, America decreasing, Europe rising. And that's what Clinton did to the country. That's what Obama's done to the country. That's what Hillary will do to the country. And in large respect, that's what George W. did to the country. He shoved us up underneath the Financial Stability Board, the International Monetary Fund, very European-dominated organizations, when he was sitting there just days ready to leave the White House. So we are continuing to see them deliberately destroying America in order to implement their socialist communitarian philosophy, which is socialism mixed with capitalism. But to do that, we've got to be a little more socialistic, not so much capitalistic. We've got to mix the two together. Right now, we're too capitalistic for them, not socialistic enough. And again, the key is they want a little mixture of both so they can keep the middle class afloat, so they can keep milking the middle class, give the cream to themselves, the elite. That's how they afford the security and the limousines and the drivers and the luxury housing and the you know, the golden parachutes for retirement plans. So they got to keep they've got to keep milking the middle class. They keep the cream, and then they give the rest of the milk to the underclass that keeps voting them into office.
You're precisely right on the money, correct, and they need us.
Absolutely. And Brandon, in your book, Religious Trojan Horse, you warn about the left and the right merging in many ways. Are we seeing that in this election cycle, or are we seeing an actual outside candidate coming in threatening the establishment?
Oh, I think he's definitely threatening the establishment. That's why they're having a fit. You know, Phyllis Schlafly was a good friend of mine, and of course she passed away just a few weeks ago, a few months ago, and she was one of the first people to come out in favor of him. And of course she backed Marco Rubio early on when he was running for U.S. Senate, and said that was a mistake later. So she got burned, and many of us have been burned. Many of us have been burned by people we thought were good people with good intentions and people of goodwill. And so I know she was very cautious, and she was one of the first people to come out in favor of Trump. And I watched her, and I watched Ann Coulter, and then I watched James Woolsey, former CIA director, who's warning the country about the threat to our power grid. And then I watched many other people that I respect from a public policy standpoint, national security standpoint, backing Trump and advising Trump. Senator Sessions of Alabama, who I've respected greatly for many years. He was one of the original guys fighting the Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP. And so I thought, these people must know something. Look, we don't know what Trump will do because he doesn't have a track record in this area. So could we all end up finding ourselves burned? I guess it's possible, but like he's saying himself, what do you have to lose? We know what Hillary Clinton will do. We know what the establishment will do. And I have to believe that these folks that have been close to him have heard his heart and must think he really will do these things. He really will come after these organizations. So, yes, he absolutely is a threat to the globalists, to the establishment, if he does the things he's talking about doing. I mean, just building a wall is a major threat to the open border scheme that Hillary said in one of her speech she dreams of an open border hemisphere. I mean, if that's not a North American Union, what is? And so I do think the right and the left are merging. I wrote about it in my book, Religious Trojan Horse. I wrote that the religious right and the religious left were merging. I can give you examples of that. But I think the political left and the political right are merging, which isn't too hard because really the Democrats and the Republicans have been one party. Carol Quigley, who wrote Tragedy and Hope, who taught at Georgetown University, the Jesuit University, who mentored Bill Clinton, who Bill Clinton gave a shout-out to in the 1992 Democratic Acceptance Speech. Carol Quigley wrote in his book, Tragedy and Hope, that the two parties were really one, so that if the people ever threw the rascals out, it would not influence or disrupt their plan.
That's right.
Well, we're seeing that. And look, you got George W. reportedly now, according to George P. Bush, his nephew, saying that George W. is likely to vote for Hillary. We've heard that George H. is already voted for Hillary or is going to. Hey, look, are we really shocked that the Clintons and the Bushes are working together. I'd like to know what they were doing together with Iran-Contra when Bush was vice president, and they were working and supposedly doing some activities in MENA, Arkansas. So I don't trust the Bushes or the Clintons, and we were, a lot of us were burned by Bush. A lot of us thought, well, he's not his father. He's more in the vein of Ronald Reagan. That didn't turn out to be so true. In some ways, obviously, we were better off with him than maybe someone else. But at the end of the day, these people are globalists. And yes, if Trump does what he says he's going to do, he's going to disrupt. But the right and left, politically, economically, emerging, they're all in favor of globalism, the Republican globalist establishment. They're in favor of open borders. They're in favor of amnesty. They're in favor of mixing socialism with capitalism. They're in favor of national health care of some type. Maybe they don't like Obama's plan, but they want a national health care program. Many of them want to put restrictions on the Second Amendment, yet they call themselves Republicans. Many of them are in favor of the global education plan. The first global education plan was America 2000, introduced by George H. Bush. By the way, the chairman of the National Governors Association who helped write it was a man by the name of Bill Clinton. The actual chairman was originally Lamar Alexander, U.S. Senator from Tennessee, where I live.
Oh,
he was the
man.
Chairman of the National Governors Association. His vice chairman was Bill Clinton. Lamar Alexander left, being the U.S. Senator, and went to be the Secretary of Education for George H. Bush. That made the vice chairman of the National Governors Association the chairman, meaning Bill Clinton, who finished up writing America 2000, which really is a global plan. It comes from the United Nations. I proved that in one of my books going back to the early 90s. And there's George H. Bush in the Rose Garden unveiling America 2000, the federal takeover of education, with Lamar Alexander standing there, and Bill Clinton's in the Rose Garden, and George H. Bush gives a boy to Bill Clinton. Well, George H. Bush could go nowhere with America 2000. Bill Clinton wins, changes the name to Goals 2000, gets it passed, and then rewrites the Elementary Secondary Education Act, which is the bill that funds education every 5 years. Then the plan said, you want some of your federal money back, states? Money that you gave us that we now have, we'll bribe you with it. You do what we tell you to do. Implement Goals 2000, we give you some of the money. And so that's what happened. And we went from America 2000, Republican. Goals 2000, Bill Clinton, Democrat. Then we went to George W. Bush, and the name changed to what? No Child Left Behind. Same thing. Then we went to Barack Obama. It's called No Child Left Behind, Common Core or Race to the Top. Common Core, Race to the Top under Obama. You notice this? Republican, Democrat, Republican, Democrat. And guess what? Have they ever thrown out any of the federalization of education? No. Why? Because both parties are really one party. So why do you think the establishment, why do you think these, I think, political hacks are and these neocons that want to go to war and that are constantly enriching themselves with a military-industrial complex? I mean, for Pete's sake, why did we invade Iraq after 9/11? I thought the Saudis were the ones that were the hijackers. Well, we didn't want to invade Saudi Arabia because too many of the Republicans and the maybe some players in the administration have relationships with all these Saudi guys that we find George W. Bush dancing with, literally dancing with, you know, just a few weeks after 9/11. So it stinks to high heavens. It is rigged. The system stinks. They don't care about the average American, regardless of what they tell you. And if Trump does what he says he's going to do, it's going to set their globalist agenda back, very much the way Ronald Reagan set them back a few years as well.
You know what, folks? If you want to know who I listen to or the books I read, you're listening to them. Brandon House is our guest. You cannot, I mean, a prolific author, you cannot find a better source of information. His website, worldviewweekend.com.
That's worldviewweekend.com.
Okay, let me try it. worldviewweekend.com. Hey, I did it.
There
How's
you go.
That?
There you go. Good job.
Yeah. But folks, every one of Brandon House books, right on the money. And again, you want to know, like, for example, where I get my information, who I listen to, this gentleman at the top of the list. Thank you so much. You know, you've been doing some research, and this has kind of made news here of late. Since 2007, you've been doing research about the vulnerability of America's power grid. My goodness, we have the ability to harden the grid, but we haven't. What have you learned about how vulnerable we are, how an attack might happen, and how it might fit in with Bible prophecy? I mean, it's got to be prophetic. It certainly will be prophetic in a biblical proportions when it happens. And I say when, not if.
Yeah, and I think Wynn is right. And the thing about this is, this is something where you have people like Ted Koppel. You know, I probably wouldn't agree with Ted Koppel on some major public policy issues, but I grew up watching Ted Koppel on Nightline, and he was one of the journalists that you didn't really know where he stood often on issues. Every now and then he'd kind of show his hand, but most of the time he wouldn't. He was a journalist. He was a professional. He was of a different era. So I'll just say up front, I probably wouldn't agree with Ted Koppel on some major public policy issues, but I respected him as a journalist, as a professional. And I grew up watching Nightline when it became a program after the hostages were taken captive in our embassy in Iraq. And that was what was birthed and what birthed Nightline because of that hostage crisis. And I watched it all the way through high school and all my adult life when he was on there. And so I've appreciated him. Well, he wrote a book in 2015 called Lights Out, and I got it. And I've been researching this since 2007. I would try to tell some family and friends about it, and they you know, everybody's an expert, but they don't want to listen. And so Ted Koppel writes something. Then you have James Woolsey, a former CIA director, and I had the chance to meet him at a conference and stand around and visit with him at a punch hors d'oeuvre gathering one evening. And he's been warning about it big time. And then you have people like former Assistant Secretary of Department of Defense, Frank Gaffney. So many people that are respected people are warning about not if, but when. And now we're reading, for instance, from the National or the Washington Examiner not too many years ago, a few months ago, that ISIS is indeed targeting our power grid. ISIS has about $2 billion at their disposal. They can easily hire the experts they need from Iran or North Korea. Oh, by the way, Russia has admitted that a few years ago they gave a lot of the information to North Korea on electromagnetic pulse bombs. Oh, by the way, remember this year, early in the year, when North Korea tested an H-bomb? Well, many experts saying what they're testing is a super EMP weapon is really what they're testing. Oh, by the way, did you remember that North Korea launched a low-flying satellite that orbits the Earth? And maybe it has a nuclear warhead on it. And if they want to detonate it when it comes over top of the U.S., they could, and that would be an EMP, and that would grab the curvature of the Earth, and it would put us back to the 1800s as far as technology. If they don't have a nuclear warhead on that current satellite, they can certainly orbit another one with it. Then we have the relationship between North Korea and Iran. Then we have the fact that Russia is clearly old school Putin, KGB, former KGB, now the what is called FSB. He is working to bring all the broken republics, breakaway republics of Mother Russia back together, many of them being of a Muslim heritage. And so you have the Marxists and the Muslims working together to destroy America. And notice those players that are working together to destroy America. It is said by experts that China and Russia have already hacked into our power grid. You have many experts and authors like Ted Koppel openly saying that over and over. I had a former CIA officer and expert with two PhDs who I think you've had on your program, Dr. Peter Pry, on my show today. Yes, he says, the Russians and the Chinese have hacked into our computer software, our grid, and with the keystrokes could bring down our system. Now, maybe they won't do it because we're probably in their system as well, and it would be mutually shared destruction. However, is it above the realm of possibility that Russia could hand that information off, or China could hand that information off to some rogue individuals who actually happen to be here in America, would carry that attack out in America, maybe routing it through other countries? So when the intelligence community finally finds where it came from, they track it all the way around the world, only to find it actually originated in America. Now we can't pin it on China. Now we can't pin it on Iran. Now we can't pin it on Russia. They have plausible deniability. so that we don't attack them. But yet they actually are the ones who originated it because their agents are here. And yet, what did we find in the reports this week? News reports this week by experts is that Iranian military guard leaders are boasting they're sending special Iranian forces to Europe and to the United States. Well, I'm being told by former intelligence officers they're already here. They've been here for years. Iranian special forces, several hundred potentially Iranian cells in the U.S. And then we had a transmission substation attacked in 2013, April 2013. Peter Pry informed me today on our broadcast at worldviewradio.com that very likely was Iranian special forces. Very well could have been. We know that that the head of FERC, the Federal Electronic Regulation Commission, or whatever it stands for, brought in some Navy SEALs to examine the attack on that transmission substation, which, by the way, powers Google, places like Google and Facebook and many others in that part of the technology world. And they brought in special forces to look at it, and they found no fingerprints on the bullet casings. They found rock piles that looked like someone scouted out in advance where to stand and knew where to shoot to bring down the cooling systems to bring down that transmission substation. Now, experts say if they'd done that and timed it in nine such critical places, they could have brought down the grid. Now, there are three grids. Texas is their own, but they could have brought them all down.
We're up against the break. Hold that thought. We'll pick up right where we left off on the other side. Folks, you're listening to Brandon House. His website is worldviewweekend.com. Again, worldviewweekend.com. Bookmark it. We'll be right back. He's staying with us until the end of the show. Don't go anywhere.
And maybe longer.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Thursday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our guest tonight is Brandon House. His website is worldviewweekend.com. We're going to get back to him in just a second. Have a quick announcement.
Yeah, you know something, folks? What a great read. You know, did you ever meet someone who can really write a great book? Oh, I long to be a great author. I really do. T.C. Joseph's This Generation series of novels. You know, he has written a trilogy of books. In fact, his third book, Penance, is going to be out at the end of this month. But in a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Josephs takes us into the lives of three families in a world where conspiracy theories and Bible prophecies collide. His novels move through recent history to the events that are just on the horizon. And when you read his books, it's like almost living through the present day in some cases. He's got a very witty style about him. Just his character, the character development, fascinating characters. It's a great read, folks. It's a kind of a book that you could kind of forget about your troubles, start a fire in your fireplace, have a glass of wine, sit and read the book. Okay, his books. Or even better, give them to your friends, because they also serve as great tools to awaken friends and family members to the perilous times that we face. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction, you're going to be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. The books are extremely readable, fast-paced. It Blue Ink Reviews calls this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting, and that they are. Folks, get your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series on Amazon.com today. Book one is Precipice. Oh, that's a great one. Book two is Pentecost. And then coming at the end of this month, book three, Penance. You're really going to want to grab this series. Christmas is coming. If you trade, if you do gifts at Christmas, if you celebrate Christmas, this is a great gift. This Generation series on Amazon.com today.
Yeah, absolutely. Our guest tonight, Brandon House, right before the break, we were talking about the potential for a attack on the American power grid and some attacks and attempted attacks and other countries that have already put their markers in place and ready to rock and roll if they wanted to do this, from what your research has shown, Brandon. And you mentioned, I don't know, do you want to go further on what you were talking about with the power grid?
Well, yeah, let me just say that attack on that substation, that transmission substation in Southern California, that came right after America reportedly, with their intelligence community and Israel, used some software to trick the Iranians. They were watching a television monitor of their centrifuges, and those things have to spin at just the right speed, otherwise they end up messing up. And what they did is they took footage of what it looks like when it's running correctly, and they were able to put it on the screen, hack into their system, put it on the screen, so the Iranians were watching not a live feed, what they thought was a live feed, but was really a tape. And then, because they had hacked in, the Americans and the Israelis, according to reports, they were able to mess up the timing on the spinning of those subterfuges and then mess up their uranium enrichment program and set it back. Now, I'm being told, and Dr. Peter Pryde on my radio program will be posted later tonight at worldviewradio.com, said when I mentioned that the experts say that this was like somebody that had special forces training or background, he said, well, it very well could have been the Iranian and special forces already in the country that are Iranian that were doing that as payback or as a warning, actually as a warning to America. It happened to be at the same time that a satellite he reported from North Korea that's in a relationship with Iran was passing over the East Coast. So basically they were telling us, we can bring you down on the East Coast, we can bring you down on the West Coast, and, you know, you better watch what you're doing. By the way, I'm also reading from credible reports that Syria has hacked into some of our banks not too long ago on the East Coast after Obama drew a red line for Syria, saying if you cross this line, we're coming in. Well, shortly after that threat, I'm reading from credible news sources, credible intelligence sources, that and they're openly stating this, that Syria hacked into some of our banks and basically, again, did it as a warning, you better forget about your red line. So a lot of things going on, we may not realize that our enemies already know where our vulnerabilities are. They know where our Achilles heel is, and they're already putting pressure. They got their boot on our throat, and they're starting to apply some pressure, and our leaders back off because we are not ready. In fact, you might be shocked to find out that the 3,200 different power companies, due to deregulation, they aren't under federal control. They actually have a way as to vote on things and decide what it is they want to do and not do in regard to regulation. So it's not the federal government telling them you will do this. They actually have a way as a group of power companies to vote on what they will do and what they won't do. It, in fact, has to come down more along the lines to the states regulating the power companies in their individual states. But we have legislation, at least two major bills that have passed the House that have been hung up in the Senate that would secure and harden, go a long way towards securing and hardening our power grid from these attacks. Well, they keep passing the House, but they get hung up in the Senate. And Peter Pry, who is the man, the point man on this, says it's because some of the power companies, I guess, with their lobbyists, all they got to do is get one U.S. senator to privately, and they can do it anonymously, put a hold on the bill in the U.S. Senate, and it doesn't move forward. So we aren't ready. We are not ready. We have a TV show we launched today. We did a radio on this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, at worldviewradio.com. We launched today the one-hour television show that they can watch free of charge at WVW-TV. It stands for World View Weekend. WVW-TV. They can watch the one-hour special on the vulnerability of our power grid. And we're going to do about 3 to 4 TV shows. And we just launched the first one that includes a ton of video clips by experts, by people like Ted Koppel, James Woolsey, former CIA director, Frank Gaffney, former assistant Secretary of Defense for the Reagan administration, other credible people warning about what could happen. And the reason we're using these people is so that you can send it to your family and friends and say, do you really want to say that Ted Koppel, the former CIA director, the former assistant Secretary of Defense, that these people don't know what they're talking about? And then we have reports that the government is not ready, the power companies are not ready, that the Department of Homeland Security, the Johnson, the director, got prickly with Ted Koppel when he tried to say, well, what is your plan? Ted Koppel even talks about, as we show the clip on the TV show this week, that the head of FEMA, they're arguing as to what they would do if there was a power outage, let's say, on the eastern seaboard. Would they evacuate the people out of Manhattan, or would they not? They don't even know, and they're arguing. One said, yeah, we would evacuate them. The other said, are you crazy? Where are we going to put them? This is how disorganized they are. And the bottom line is, you better be prepared yourself. And Ted Koppel was asked, what are you doing? He said, well, I have bought freeze-dried food for my family, my wife and I, our children, and our grandchildren. So his grandchildren must be grown, and he's bought freeze-dried food for them. Look, this is our biggest threat. And what's very interesting is that the nations that we know can come against us, let's say Libya, Syria, but let's just take, for instance, Russia. Let's just take these. Russia, Iran, Turkey. Now, those nations, that's very interesting. Because when I go to Ezekiel chapter 38, I see Russia. I see Turkey. I see Iran. You know, I see some of these nations, and possibly even China, because Ezekiel 38 also says, and other nations will come with you. Well, isn't that interesting that the nations that we already know are trying to come against us? They hate America. They hate what we stand for. They hate the fact we support Israel. If they go to move against Israel, as is said in Ezekiel 38, wouldn't it make sense, assuming at the time that Ezekiel 38, Gog and Magog happens, assuming that we have, let's say, someone in the White House and people in Congress that still care about Israel, let's say it's President Trump. And let's say President Trump, who, by the way, has a Jewish son-in-law, who I'm told has great respect for and is giving him a lot of advice. So let's say Trump keeps his word. He's very pro-Israel. He has a Jewish son-in-law, and they are standing with Israel. And let's say in the next 4 years, if he becomes president, Russia, which would be Rosh, which is this leader of this Gog-Magog coalition, works with Russia, works with Turkey and Iran and the Sudan and Libya and Central Asia, which would be likely Afghanistan, and they decide to build a coalition with others that will go with them to go against Israel. But they decide we better take out America, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, ally of Israel first, because as soon as we go to do this, they're going to move in to help stop and retaliate. So let's take down the great Satan before we go after the little Satan, Israel. Well, isn't that interesting? The Bible tells us those names are Russia, Turkey, Iran, Libya, Syria. These are the nations we see listed in the scriptures in the end times. America's nowhere to be found. Why? I think it's because we've ceased to be a world power economically or politically or militarily. And it may be because we've been brought down with our greatest threat. The national security experts say is the number one threat to bring us down. They've testified before our special hearings in Congress that the only way our enemies can defeat us is through an EMP, a type attack, to go after our power grid. So either an electromagnetic pulse or hacking us. That would set up the Bible's prophecy scenario where no one's going to be able to come against them other than God himself, as is the case, Ezekiel 38 says, so that the whole world will know that he is Lord. So I think it is possible, I'm not being dogmatic, but I think it's possible the reason America is not listed is we have been brought down by that very same coalition in Ezekiel 38, which includes people who are already, by according to experts, looking to bring down our power grid.
Brandon, I mean, this is fantastic, and I just want to reaffirm or to republicize this. You get into the vulnerabilities of this aspect on WVW.TV. People can go there, watch
WVWTV.com.
I'm sorry, WVWTV.com. All right, let me say that one more time because I screwed it up the first time. WVWTV.com. That's WVWTV.com. And I would urge everyone to soak up as much information about this as you possibly can. Two questions for you. Number one, I've been told, Joe and I were at a meeting Right at the time, 1 second after it came out, the producers of 1 second after and the certain federal officials had a meeting in Western New York talking about this, the vulnerabilities of the power grid. It was my understanding, and it is my understanding still, the cost to reinforce our power grid is not that much money. I mean,
$2 billion.
Relative. Okay.
$2 billion.
Why in the hell? Okay, why haven't we done anything? I mean, why?
$2 billion. The cost is $2 billion. $2 billion,
right,
with a B, is the cost that I've read. And if we have the grid go down, you're talking about in the trillions. Okay. Not to mention, experts say within a year, 9 out of 10 Americans could be dead. Why are they not doing it? Because I think most of them are rolling the dice and saying it probably won't happen, and we'll assume that it won't, so they don't want to spend the money. That's the only reason. But Ted Koppel was asked, what do you think the likelihood is this will happen in the next 10 years? And he said he believes it will happen. The former, the man that's in charge of CINCOM, the general in charge of CINCOM, told Ted Koppel that it's not a matter of if, but when. And
right,
they've moved a lot of their communications inside Cheyenne Mountain there in Colorado to protect it from an electromagnetic pulse. So our military is getting ready. The power companies are not, but our military is. So I think it's that the companies just don't want to spend the money to do it, because they don't want to spend the $2 billion to get ready, is what it sounds like. Well,
we have to have a
GoFundMe
page or what? I mean, seriously.
Exactly. Exactly. And again, this is where you've got to get your governors and your state legislatures to put the pressure on the states, because in Maine, I guess, is one of the only few states, according to Peter Pry, one of the few states to actually pass legislation that's putting the pressure on their power companies to get ready so that Maine can protect its own grid. It's not its own grid, but protect its own power plants. Because again, there are three grids. Basically, the one on that goes from the west coast to the center of the nation, the east coast to the center of the nation, and then Texas. But Maine wants to protect its own power company. And the thing too is, if the government would come out and say, "Now look, folks, we're working on this, okay? But here's the bottom line: you need to have 6 months, a year's supply of food for everyone in your family. You know, go get freeze-dried food, have a way to get a fire started, even if you build a bonfire pit in your backyard." That's what I did in 2009. I built a bonfire pit in my backyard in 2009 because I'd been researching this since 2007. So I built it myself, built a beautiful stone patio with my own hands, saved a lot of money doing it myself. It was a lot of work, but it's beautiful, and I love it, and a lot of people compliment me on it when they see it. It's beautiful, but it's there for not only us to enjoy now, but for an emergency. I went and got the grate to put over the fire. I keep cords of wood available, and I can boil water, and I have freeze-dried food. I bought enough freeze-dried food for my family of 5 for 6 months. I then put on some special devices on my downspouts of my gutters in 2012 that allow me to collect the rainwater and divert it into barrels for that purpose. And these little devices that you put onto your gutter are like $29, and we have them in our bookstore at worldviewweekend.com. But I've had them on my gutters since 2012, and the average roof with a 1 inch rain, 1,000 square foot roof, 1 inch of rain, you can collect about 623 gallons of water. So over the course of a year, you're talking about several thousand gallons of water. Now, maybe you don't want to drink that. You know, if I had to, I would boil it and drink it. But I could certainly keep my drinking water for drinking and cooking, and use this water for boiling and then putting in a tub to bathe with. But I could also use that water to put into a big 10-gallon bucket from Home Depot and pour it down the toilet in order to flush the toilet, because the pump may not come to the house to bring me water. Well, your toilet's useless unless you have a bucket and you have water to then dump into the bowl that causes it to flush. So that becomes my bathing water. That might become my washing water for washing clothes and dishes. That becomes my toilet water for flushing with a 10-gallon bucket. If the American people were told basic things you can do that are very inexpensive, even some people on a limited income or fixed income could prepare for, I believe you would see the numbers of people dying go down drastically, whereas otherwise you're going to have the issue of starvation and disease and hygiene being a big killer.
Man,
Not to get too far off the side, but here where we live, we were reading the regulations the other day about collecting rainwater.
Yeah, you can't collect rainwater.
It's illegal where we live now, which is surprising.
My wife and I were talking about that. In some states, it is illegal to collect rainwater. How stupid is that? What state are you in?
We are in Pennsylvania, up right by Lake Erie.
State of confusion at the moment.
Yeah.
No,
How stupid is that?
Exactly.
You know what? At this point, do you really think the state of Pennsylvania is going to have on their concern whether Hagman are collecting rainwater?
Absolutely not. And I don't know how they would even gauge that aside from sending inspectors to every place.
Well, particularly the guy and the people enforcing it. Do you even think the people that would enforce that are going to be on the job? No, they're going to be at home with their family. Do you think the police are going to be on the job? No, they're going to be at home with their family. Why would they be on the job? I mean, really, why would they? What's going to work? Their radios? If it's an EMP, their car, were they going to be on horseback, foot? I mean, the unlawlessness. For what they're paid, do you really think they'd be on the job? If I were a police officer being paid what they pay, I wouldn't be on the job. I'd say, forget this and go home. So I don't know anyone that's going to be around to enforce those silly rules. I don't think you'll have government to speak of.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on this. And this is so important information, folks, as we prepare for that eventuality. And I say that because we're in for some rough times. And you know, it just really fries my – it chaps my – but to think that people are out there saying, you know, this is all fear porn, and you're just getting people all worked up. Now, this is reality. Listen to this man, Brandon House. Listen to what he's saying, because this is reality. His website, worldviewweekend.com, worldviewweekend.com, where you can find this stuff, as well as WVWTV.com. So, Brandon, thank you.
Until this last week, I never talked about my own personal preparations on the radio. I started preparing in 2007, built the patio in 2009, brought in some canned goods for that purpose. Then those went out of date. They're too heavy to move around. They went out of date. Had to throw them all out. I said, forget this. I've been eating Mountain House, for instance, since I was in high school on camping trips. I like their food. And so I brought some of that into April 2013. And then I put in this ability to grab rainwater in 2012. I've never talked about any of my preparations until this past week because I was concerned that people wouldn't get it and they would think that I was overreacting. But I'll tell you, people like Frank Gaffney, former Assistant Secretary of Defense for the Reagan administration, former CIA Director James Woolsey, journalist Ted Koppel, even Newt Gingrich, who's come out and talked about this, and we have an audio clip in our TV show next week from him saying this is the greatest threat to our country is the grid. When these men come out, hey, it gives us cover to talk and say, you see, we're not being over the top. We're not being tinfoil hat. And so this is after all these years of preparing, I would talk about the topic. But I never told you what you could do and how you could prepare. But I have started doing so because I feel like I have an obligation to my listening audience. Look, I'm not an entertainer, okay? I'm not here to just sell people stuff. I come from the business background. I can go back into the business world, and I do have a couple of different things I do on the side. So I'm not here to sell something, and I'm not here to entertain people. I care about my listening audience, and I know many of them. I travel and have conferences all over the country, and I see many of them over and over again to the point I know some of them by name. But if I don't know their name, I know them when I see them, and I can tell you facts about them. I can tell you what the father does for a living. I can tell you maybe where the kids go to school, what they're majoring in. You know, I've watched some of these kids grow up, literally. They were coming to our conferences as elementary students. Now they're in college. So these families don't listen to me because I'm an entertainer. They listen to me because they appreciate what I say, they agree with it, and they trust me. And I don't take that lightly. And so I feel that the time has come to say, all right, here's what I've been doing, and here's how you can do the same, and it's very inexpensive to do some of these preparations. And you can plan for it, budget for it. Maybe instead of buying a new car, you buy a used car, take the difference in price, and get some preparations. Because I think for some people, if this does happen, and I think it's very likely that it will, these items that we're telling people can save your life. Because, again, you got major experts saying the biggest issue in America is going to be hygiene, disease, and starvation. And I said to my wife today, can you believe that? In America, where we have so much food, the issue could be starvation.
Yeah, think about that. Let that sink in, ladies and gentlemen. Starvation, and it's to me, it's the people. a lot of this, Brandon, I don't want to get too far into left field here, but what I've noticed is a lot of Christians are behind this, don't worry, God will provide mentality. It's not necessary for you to prepare. It's, I mean, or any degree thereof of that statement, whether it's, you know.
But the Bible says God, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, and you know, God has given us the ability to think and to reason and have logic. And the Bible has a lot to say about money and wealth and working. And if you don't work, you don't eat. And the Bible talks about managing your funds and investing and getting a return. And so the Bible has a lot to say about putting away and saving, and that a godly man leaves an inheritance to his kids, and he who doesn't provide for his family is worse than an infidel, an unbeliever.
Amen.
That's both spiritually as well as physically. Yes, spiritually as well as physically and economically. So these are people that, quite frankly, many of them have a good game. They talk a good spiritual game. And some of them may even be very, very sound theologically. They just don't have enough wisdom to apply it. Knowledge is the acquisition of truth. Knowledge is the acquisition of truth. Wisdom is the application of truth. And you know what I see is I see some really good Bible teachers, and they have a lot of knowledge, but they don't have a lot of wisdom. They don't know how to apply that to everyday life. They know how to teach a lot of facts and figures in the context and the history. They get that knowledge, but they lack the wisdom to actually apply it. And when you look at the mess that their own colleges and seminaries and universities and the book publishers they're with and some of the people they invite to their conferences, you think, you see, there's the example. You have a lot of knowledge, but you don't really seem to even know how to apply it. Well, that's the difference between having knowledge and having wisdom. Knowledge, the acquisition of truth; wisdom, the application. So even some good theological people say these silly things. Well, that again is because they don't have the biblical wisdom. Also, some of these people saying these things, some of these people are pretty well off financially. They have two or three or more homes. I don't think they're going to have to worry too much. And so for them to take this so cavalierly, oh, well, God will provide, you don't need to prepare, it's a sin to not trust God. I bet you they have home insurance. I bet they have life insurance. I bet they have car insurance. I bet they have health insurance. So that is just absolutely distorted, twisted thinking, and it's irresponsible.
And it's interesting because you have your book, Twisted Scripture, Twisted Theology. You know, this is twisted thinking. And it's also twisted scripture and twisted theology. By the way, folks, visit Brandon House. Visit his website. That's worldviewweekend.com. That's worldviewweekend.com. Brandon House is a prolific author. You will not find a bad book in the bunch. He's a great author, including, as I said, Twisted Scripture, Twisted Theology, and seriously, my favorite, The Coming Religious Reich.
And over 11 others. 13 total books.
Yeah.
And maybe in the next hour, Brandon, we can come back around and talk about the church and some spiritual and scriptural issues as we covered.
Well, I would love to talk to you about some of the most twisted scriptures today, particularly Joel chapter 2, where, you know, people are prophesying and visions and dreams and all these people with the word of faith. You know, and the Benny Hinn and the Creflo Dollar types, and, you know, I had this vision, I had this dream, and then they will say to me, but Brandon, you're saying these things are not for here and now and today, but Joel 2 says, your sons and your daughters. Okay, why don't we look at that passage in context, because it tells us who it's to, and it tells us when it will happen. So I'd love to knock down that one, which is causing a lot of these word of faith weirdos. You know, that's what the sad thing is. When I tell people about the Christian radio,
Brandon, we're up against the break. We'll start right off with Joel 2. Right, folks, on. You're listening to Brandon House on this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Stay with us.